I'm going to be talking about a project we've been working on for the last year to improve newborn screening follow-up in Indiana. So one of the first things I'd like to start with is, you know, we're throwing this term open source around, and I'll just put my hat in the ring and say that open source means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. Open source can be a software development methodology. It can be a business strategy. It can be a method of collaboration with other people. And so open source can be used in a lot of different ways. What I'm going to be doing today, I'm going to talk about the initial, the development methodology, and the collaboration method as I talk about this project today. I'm going to start at a very high level, provide a general overview. I'm going to dive into the weeds a little bit into some of the technology, and then at the end I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the concrete real results we've got to date. So by the title of this talk, most of you recognize that I'm going to talk about how we leverage health information exchange and in a collaborative approach using open source technology to develop a prototype to improve newborn screening follow-up. So let's go to the problem. I don't know if any of you are familiar with, I believe his name is Neil Postman. He wrote a book called Entertaining Ourselves to Death. He asks a great question that I find myself using a lot in many aspects of my life. And that question is, to what problem is X the solution? And so I think we need to ask ourselves that with open source as well. Open source is not the end game here. Never has been, it shouldn't be. Open source is a means to an end. From my perspective and from the work we're doing in Indiana, as it has been throughout the history of Regenstrief, our end is to improve patient outcomes, improve efficiency, reduce costs. If open source can do that, great. If it can't, let's move on to something else that can. Now, we happen to think that open source methodologies can help improve outcomes at a lower cost. But getting back now to the problem, to what problem is an open source matching system the solution? Well, let's talk about the problem. Most of you know newborn screening is required in all 50 states in the country to look for devastating, deadly diseases, debilitating diseases, that if discovered and treated can minimize the morbidity and mortality. Unfortunately, not all infants are appropriately screened at birth. And many of you in public health know we can link public health vital records to newborn screening data to try to look for some missing tests there. But even though that's a great and important part of the process, that linkage can be delayed. Vital records don't necessarily all come in at the same time. And having other sources, other opportunities to discover missed tests is important. And in fact, a personal real story in Indiana. This is now over a year ago. A patient was born, had persistent developmental delay, was seen by many physicians. Finally, an astute family physician, I'm a family doc, it wasn't me, realized this patient had not had a newborn screening test. At 4 months of age, they discovered the child had congenital hypothyroidism or cretinism, which if treated at birth, child does fine. 4 months later, they are permanently developmentally delayed. And so this is the problem we're trying to solve. I talk about open source because I care about patients and people, and I care about the end game, and I think this can be a real part of the solution here. So the question is, how can we better recognize these patients and do a better job? So what we're doing within our information exchange in Indiana, and many of you may know about this, I don't think that I necessarily have enough time to go into a deep description of our information exchange. Suffice it to say that we capture over several million transactions a week in our information exchange, registration messages, clinical results from transcriptions to other things. In those transactions, we have an age. And so what we started doing in our prototype is looking for any child that touches the information exchange, whether they're registered for a visit with their doctor, whether a lead test comes through, whether they get an X-ray, any transaction that we see, we check the date of birth. And if that child is under the age of 1 month, we identify them as somebody we need to look for a newborn screening for. So we're leveraging already existing data streams. We're not creating new data flows here. We're not creating new data sources or asking the healthcare system to do anything new. We're reusing infrastructure that's already there. And reuse, I think, is a key theme in open source as well. We'll move on to the next step here. So now the illustration. Again, we're still at a very high level here. Across the state of Indiana, one lab does all of the newborn screening testing. It happens to be the Riley Children's Hospital, which is about 3 blocks away from Regan Street, so we know those folks well. All lab tests come in on blood spot forms for each birth into the newborn screening registry. So to reiterate what I've talked about, the INPC here represents the Indiana Network for Patient Care, our health information exchange that's been in operation since the mid-1990s. So the child comes in, gets registered, a result is generated. If the child is 1 month of age or less, and by the way, that 1 month of age was a fairly arbitrary decision. If any of you in the audience have thoughts or opinions on what that age should be, I'd love to hear it. But we take that trigger message and we look into the newborn screening registry and ask the question, is that patient present? This patient that I'm seeing here today, do we have a test for them? If we don't, we send out shotgun alerts. We go to the newborn screening lab, we can send to the public health, and in the information exchange, we have knowledge of all of the clinicians who this patient has ever seen. And we can alert all of them to say, we've got a problem here. And so from a very high level, this is what this project is about. Now, specifically to this talk, I'm talking about how do we answer that top question here? How do we answer, is the test present? To do that, you have to take this incoming transaction with demographic data, and you have to match it into the newborn screening repository. Now, many of you may know, newborn data is very messy. All clinical healthcare transaction data is messy and has its issues. Newborn data, poor first names, baby A, baby B, infant, missing, they typically are very dynamic in the healthcare system, so they see that obstetrician once and now they've moved on to another provider, and we see a lot of early mobility in the healthcare system, so there's some real challenges around the data that's collected on them. So we had to keep that in mind. So now what I'm going to do is transition into some of the technology. I've laid the framework here. We need to match real-time transactions from a health information exchange that are messy, not cleaned up, into an existing newborn screening repository. We are building this technology on top of a platform called OpenMRS. Now let me put on my sales hat. OpenMRS is free, but I'm going to brag about it because I'm very excited about this project. Back in 2004, Paul Beyondich, Burke Maplin from Regan Streiff Institute, Hamish Fraser from Partners in Health in Boston, and Chris Seabrex from South Africa got together because they were all working on HIV/AIDS care in Africa. And they all realized they were working on different separate systems. And they thought, you know what, if we came together and built an electronic medical record system that took care of all of our patients and combined the best practices and knowledges of everyone, we'd probably do a lot better. Since that time, since 2004, OpenMRS has grown. It is now installed in over 12 sub-Saharan African countries. It is the national electronic medical record system for Rwanda. It's installed in Los Angeles in their TB clinics to take care of TB patients. In the core of OpenMRS is the 30 years of medical informatics research, development, and operations that the Regan Streiff Institute uses to run their health information exchange. Has an incredibly robust data model. HIV/AIDS patients don't just have HIV. They have every other conceivable medical condition under the sun. And so you need to be able to treat that in there. We've built the patient matching system into OpenMRS, and we manage this data, the newborn screening data, within OpenMRS as well. So let me walk you through now the workflow for matching the data. Let's start with the newborn screening test data flow. So from the newborn screening lab, Regan Streiff receives let me put in another pitch here. I'm sure many of you have heard of the open source HL7 integration engine called MIRTH. How many of you? Lots of people heard of that? Okay, a few of you in the audience. Through our CDC grant, our Public Health Situational Awareness grant, we have actually funded the folks at WebReach to add some new technology that's there now that everyone can benefit from. We've built in a delimited file importer. What that is you can take any delimited file now, and you've got a nice workflow built into MIRTH, so you can take, if you can specify the delimited file format, transform that to anything MIRTH can create. Our newborn screening lab cannot generate HL7 messages, which is what our information exchange uses. So we explicitly built this delimited file importer with the WebReach folks at MIRTH to load this data. But we also thought, you know, we have dozens of other sources in central Indiana that also need to, that are delimited and need to be transformed. So let's build a reusable tool that the community can use. So now in MIRTH 1.8, everybody go get it. You've got your delimited file importer in there. Incredibly powerful. If you want to be a health information exchange, if you want to receive data from a variety of folks, you've got to be able to receive it in a flexible fashion. So here's another part of this process where we used an open source strategy to get that in there. So you, the community, can benefit from that piece in there. So newborn screening data, delimited file, comes into Regan Streiff, transformed into HL7. That HL7 is, before we go there, so in OpenMRS we have an HL7 receiver module. HL7 is modular based. You extend functionality by building modules. We have an HL7 receiver, and then we have the matching module. So, let's go back here. So the HL7 message comes in. We ask the question. We parse out the data from there and ask, does the patient exist? We have a find patient call. This is for the newborn screening data now. This is to build the newborn screening repository. If the answer is no, the patient's not in there, then we need to add it to the OpenMRS patient table. And we add that in. Now, even though this is a little deeper in the weeds, not all of the details are there. I'm sure lots of you have questions on how do you manage the business rules. But so if the patient's not there, we add it into the OpenMRS patient table. Because we use a probabilistic matching algorithm, many of you know probabilistic matching is computationally intensive, we need a flat file. We need an optimized table for doing the matching in real time. So we also have a copy of the OpenMRS patient table, which is normalized in the data model, indexed out so it's much faster. So we add those to both places. And now, this is the key trigger. This is the key point. We have the HIE data flow coming in now. And again, keep in mind this can be messy data. So we have the inbound HL7. It could be an ADT message, a registration message, an ORU message, a results message. We ask the question, does the patient exist? If we can't match it using this probabilistic matching algorithm, we send out the no. It does not exist. If it does exist, great. We know that the patient's had the tests. And if it doesn't exist, we'll still add it to the OpenMRS system, and we also send out those alerts that I was talking to you about. So this is the core workflow of the system. Now I've got a 2-hour probabilistic matching algorithm talk that I can give at any time if folks are interested. We can't go into that right now. But what I am going to do is tell you a little bit more about the matching module, how it works, and how it fits into OpenMRS. We started building the probabilistic matching into OpenMRS because folks needed to do things like deduplicate their patient registry. Even in Africa, they have duplicates, believe it or not. Folks are bringing data together from different sources and they need to match that and integrate it. So we wanted to help with the identity management needs in resource constrained environments. So from a high level overview, there's no magic here. We've built in some data accessibility so you can access flat files or databases with this. We have the analytics component, and this is probably the most value-add piece of the matching algorithm, and that is it uses some of the well-known latent class analysis, Feligi-Sunter methods for calculating statistical parameters for matching. It has the ability to search for pairs, et cetera, and then it can generate match scores. Classically, in probabilistic matching, high scores are more likely to be true matches, low scores are more likely to be false matches. So we have this core infrastructure, and what we do is we build an API around that. So we have various APIs. So we can update a patient anytime OpenMRS has a call that says update this patient. Anytime any of these OpenMRS APIs, well, these aren't APIs, these are function calls, are called, the linkage module is hooked and called to make sure that the patient is reconciled within the system. So the combination of the core analytics, the core functions integrated with OpenMRS API calls, hooks, that forms the OpenMRS patient matching module, and OpenMRS sits on top of that. So some of the use cases we can use this for, we can match inbound data, as we talked about, with newborn screening. We can deduplicate the OpenMRS patient table, and I'll tell you a little bit more about that in a minute. And we also actually have a Java Swing app, so you reuse that same core software in different use cases. And so what I mean by that is, so let's, for deduplication, I'm not going to walk you through all of this workflow, but essentially in OpenMRS, we've built a module that adds this functionality to the default OpenMRS function, where you can go in, manage duplicates, you can actually just run a duplicate report using this algorithm. But we also have the ability to, and in fact, we built a Java Swing app on top of this, where you can take file A and file B, configure the data sources, set certain parameters. You've got some looseness and fuzzy matching and all of that in there. And you can, again, score matches. We've used this to do things like match our Medicaid data into our health information exchange. We've used this to match anonymously between public health to identify how many HIV patients we had in the health information exchange. We've used this in several research projects where we take outside data that doesn't happen to be in the information exchange to link it into clinical data. But again, the same core functionality is here. And so now we're two results. Let me tell you a little bit. I always like having some data in the talk. So let me show you here. We took a month of information exchange data, INPC data, 2,345 records, and we linked it to about 9 months of newborn screening data around that time. So 1 month of INPC data surrounded by 9 months of newborn screening data linked them together. What we found in our information exchange, that 102 of these patients did not have a newborn screen, which was pretty interesting to us. We dug into those patients a little bit, and what we found was, does anybody have a sense of why patients might not be screened? Any ideas? Yeah. Home births is a good one, yeah. What's that? Those are good reasons. The other caveat to keep in mind here is these are patients who are receiving health care. They're in the health care system. What we found is largely these 102 patients are very sick kids. They have Wilms tumors. They have hydrocephalus. Many of them actually in their records show that they had died. And so what's happening is that the really sick kids, many of whom survived, the newborn screening sort of getting shuffled down the list, and people are forgetting about it because there's so many other profound things to deal with. And so that's been one of the interesting findings here. Now, we have a lot more to do with understanding those unlinked records, but I think it helps us to actually see, and you know, this is where data is great, because you look at it and you say, aha, yeah, that makes sense. If somebody's really sick, they may not, healthcare providers may not think about that routine testing. They just want to keep the kid alive. The kid gets out of the hospital, missing that newborn screening. So some interesting results there. Now, so that's the clinical outcome that we have to date. the geeky, cool outcome. OpenMRS is one of the members of the Google Summer of Code internship program. So for the last 2 years, every summer, we've received an opportunity to mentor computer science students in software development. They work on various aspects of OpenMRS in the modules. Last year, I was very blessed to have a, think of the scholar name. He was from Turkey and Fulbright scholar. I had a Fulbright scholar from Turkey who worked on some of the core issues in the patient matching algorithm. We don't have any Fulbright scholars at Regent Street, so open source was a great way to leverage some smart people. In fact, he is here in Atlanta at Georgia Tech now. This year, I had a student from the University of Pittsburgh, brilliant guy from Indonesia. And one of the great things about having a community resource is you can try some experiments. And one of the things I've been meaning to try for years, I read some recommendation from the Census Bureau. The Census Bureau does a lot of probabilistic matching work. If anybody wants to learn about what's happening in probabilistic matching, look up the Census Bureau's guys. They're doing a lot. They made a recommendation many years ago that I've seen nobody work on. And I won't go into the statistical details, but it has to do with random sampling. And if you implement random sampling in a certain place in probabilistic matching, they predicted that you could really improve your matching results. So I thought, I've got this Google Summer of Coder. Let me have them implement this. We'll try it out. Well, if you remember back at the beginning, I said newborn screening data is incredibly messy. The classic probabilistic matching algorithm goes crazy with really, really bad data like newborn screening. When we implemented the random sampling method, which is built into the software, now anybody can go out there and download it, our sensitivity and specificity, our sensitivity went from 70% up to 94%. Our specificity went from about 92% up to over 99%. And so the community can give you an opportunity to explore ideas that you might not otherwise be able to explore. So two good successes there. I'm going to close with this. This is where you can go to get the software, subversion.openmrs.org, and then you've got to go to OpenMRS modules, the patient matching, and the code's all there. With that, let me do acknowledgments. HRSA funded this demonstration project, and we couldn't have done it without them. Steve Downs was the primary investigation. Paul Biondich and I were the co-eyes. And then James, Vibha, Mina, and Nioman were all programmers involved in this. So thank you.